wraps it up for another episode of Flashpoints. Our executive producer is Dennis Bernstein. Senior producers are Miguel Gavilan Molina and Kevin Pina. Technical director is Mike Biggs. For previous episodes, go to kpfa.org or flashpoints.net. For questions or comments, email dennis@kpfa.org. Thank you for listening.
KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Here at KBOO, on February 20th, we'll be celebrating National Love Your Pet Day. If you ever experienced the loss of an animal friend, you are welcome to share with us how you felt and how it changed you to lose that beloved friend and ally. An unfortunate downside to the blessing of the friendship our animal friends provide is the almost inevitable goodbye that comes when our dear friends' lifespans are far shorter than our own. You can send your audio to publicaffairs@kboo.org with the subject line Pet Day, or you can also call the station at 503-231-8032 and choose voice mailbox 302 and go ahead and record your story. Email publicaffairs@kboo.org with any questions.
This is Medea Benjamin. I hope you listen to Community Radio KBOO 90.7.
Emma Luga with KBOO Community Radio. Today we're talking about the play Tom Paine's Bones, and we have with us Marty Baudet, Jeffrey Johnson Smith, and Portland's Mark Kohler. Welcome to KBOO, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Great, thanks. So why don't you all introduce yourselves real quick, and then we'll get into a conversation about the play. Let's start with Marty.
Yeah, as you said, my name's Marty Baudet. I'm a local Portland actor, author, filmmaker. I've been in the Portland area for 25 years now, originally from the San Francisco Bay Area. I came to Oregon specifically to pursue writing and became a novelist when I got here. I had been an editor for some computer magazines in the Bay Area prior to that, and always dreamt of living somewhere that would allow me the freedom to write. So I came here to write. My novel writing led me to meet one filmmaker in particular who led me into the world of filmmaking and reignited my interest in acting, which I had left behind in my college years. I got back into acting and got an agent in 2015. Now I made a feature film which is streaming right now on some of the popular services, but I've left filmmaking behind because I can't wear too many hats, and so I focus now on writing and acting.
Great, thank you, Marty, and Jeffrey.
Well, I can't really compete with that, but I wrote this play. And I used to be a writer professionally, but of nonfiction. I did a news website, was the editor of it. And I came across Tom Paine because of his values, and his life was so exciting. It should have been a Hollywood movie. Everybody who knows the guy says that. And I actually wrote a script, a screenplay, but the chances of selling a screenplay are just so remote. I thought, well, why not try it as a one-man show? So I switched to that. It's my first stage play. I lucked out with actors taking an interest in it, different places around the country. But it never advanced as far as it has here with Marty, And I'm really pleased about that.
Great, thank you. And Mark, would you introduce yourself?
Sure, Mark Kohler. I've been in Portland for about 10 years now. I also have the dubious distinction of having run for U.S. Congress against a unbeatable Democrat. As Emma knows, I'm also a member of the Progressive Party Council for the last 6 or 7 years. And met Jeffrey a few years ago through mutual friend. He asked if I'd be interested in helping put this play on. And like Marty said, once I read the script, I thought this is really a story that really should be told. I know it sounds funny to say that, but it's really, especially everything that's going on in this country right now, it's really a great thing to point out someone who really understands and really talks about what this country was supposed to be about, that it seems to be getting farther and farther away from. So I'm just glad to be part of the team.
Thank you. So let's start by talking about the play, Tom Paine's Bones. Jeffrey, Marty, Mark, whoever would like to pitch in, what is the play Tom Paine's Bones about?
Well, Jeff, I think you're probably best, yeah.
It's about his values. It's about the decisions he took and the stances he made that jeopardized his life in order to promote the rights of everybody. And that kind of courage, it just deserves to be brought back and told again. And he did stuff that most people could never dream of doing. He had a huge amount of success as a writer. He penned the first bestseller in English. And he had a really big heart. He gave away most of his royalties. He co-funded the revolution. And a lot of that went into graft and greed, which made him unpopular. They're very powerful because they were ripping off this young republic, and even Washington mentioned that. So that's part of it. And the Bones gets in the title because after he died, one of his admirers dug him up, collected his bones, and thought he would sell them, but instead he lost them. So just as we sort of lost this founding father and the ideals that he stood for, his bones got lost. So maybe they can't be found again, probably not, but we can reawaken those ideals of liberty and justice and equality through telling his life story.
What about you, Marty? I assume you're playing Tom Paine as the actor.
Yeah. Yes.
So as your interpretation of him, how does that?
Well, sorry to cut you off. I see this play as the antithesis to Hamilton, because Tom Paine and Alexander Hamilton were adversaries all the way through. But Alexander Hamilton pissed off a lot of people, including George Washington and John Adams. But Hamilton stood for capitalism and was the father of American capitalism and the first Secretary of the Treasury and basically responsible for the capitalist system we live under today, which Tom Paine vehemently opposed at various points in time and made him an enemy of many people because of that. Tom Paine was about, well, one of the tracts he wrote was Rights of Man, and that pretty much sums up who Tom Paine was. He was all about human rights and individual rights, and that is interesting because today, this whole story, the reason this, I think, if I'm speaking for Jeff, that the reason he's telling this story today is because it is so applicable to what we're doing today. All sides of the political spectrum quote Tom Paine because Tom Paine said so many things that appeal to so many people because there's a lot of sense in it. But Tom Paine as a whole doesn't agree with any specific political outlook or party today, but everybody finds something in what he said to use to their advantage, kind of like how people cherry pick the Bible to, you know, justify what it is they want to, the point they want to make. People do that with Tom Paine as well. And yet he ended up a persona non grata in every country he inhabited, England, France, and the US. He was persona non grata by the end of it. And yet he is so quotable and so much of an the source of people's political ideology today.
Very interesting. Mark, what about you? What is your take on Tom Paine?
Well, I'm just, to be honest, I'm along for the ride. Mm-hmm. As you know, Emma, as a progressive and as an independent, the ideals that, you know, I believe this country was supposed to be founded upon, not by the rich, necessarily the rich white slave owners, but by the principles that Tom Paine espoused in Common Sense and the other things, is really what I believe this country was supposed to be built about. And it's nice to be able to just share with people, and Marty's gonna, and I'll say this, Marty, I haven't seen you act, but all the experience so far, it's gonna be a great way to tell the story in a way that will be very personal, and just to get people to start thinking about really what is this country supposed to be, not necessarily what it has become. And I think it's just an important story to keep telling.
So before we go further, let's just make sure to tell people when and where this is playing. Is this going to be playing in Portland?
Well, it's Milwaukee, actually, which is a lot of people still kind of think it's just
Milwaukee.
Part of Portland, but
great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Milwaukee, Oregon. And I have to say Oregon because some people say, I can't go all the way to Milwaukee, Wisconsin. But no, there is Milwaukee here. It's at a small theater, the Chapel Theater. It's President's Day weekend, this coming up in February, 18th, 19th, and 20th. We have an evening show on Saturday night and then two matinees, Sunday and Monday. Monday is the President's Day holiday, which everyone agreed in the beginning was a great day to kind of, you know, set this off. We have made it extremely affordable. Tickets are $20, and students can come in for $5. And so we would love to get as many people as we can in to see, because it is the premiere, and it's a great place to premiere this, being, you know, the kind of community Portland is.
Yeah, that's a great little theater. I drive by that. It seems like it's always full.
It is really a really nice little place.
Can I point out that we chose President's Day weekend? It's very appropriate because Tom Paine was friends with the first, third, and fifth presidents of the United States, and thorn in the side of the second. So President's Day weekend is a very appropriate time for Tom Paine to rear his head and remind them of what the founding of this country was all about, or supposed to be all about.
So Jeffrey, who was Tom Paine? Let's talk about him for a minute. Where was he born? What did he do? How did he live? When did he die?
Well, he was a pretty ordinary Englishman, born in England, and he was pretty bored with life at home as a dean, like a lot of deans, and he tried to run away to sea to join privateers, which are legal pirates, but his parents wouldn't let him go. He was still mid-teen, but the ship he tried to get on was captured by the enemy and killed every single sailor except one, who came back and told the story. Mm-hmm. And that convinced Tom Paine that he had to go to sea and join this mad mayhem. But then when he actually experienced it, he never wanted anything to do with it anymore. Came back, went to London, and this is the dawn of the Industrial Revolution and modern science. And he just fell in love with that. He read everything. Back in those days, important people gave public speeches, and he attended that and got to know them, made friends with them, because he was a smart guy. He picked up things quickly. He asked good questions. And then normal things, marriage, divorce, jobs, And it wasn't until middle age that he met Ben Franklin, and Franklin convinced him to come to America, wrote him a letter of introduction. And when he got here, first backing up a bit, when Paine was a child, he could see from his bedroom window somebody being executed, like on a weekly basis. And that's what life was like back then. And so when he got to America, from his bedroom window there in Philadelphia, he could see Africans on the auction block being sold. And it so disturbed him that he founded the Anti-Slavery Society, and he discovered this gift for writing. And people read what he wrote. They would read it in taverns and coffee houses, which just got invented right then in that era. And it became hugely popular from his writing. And he did stuff that had never been done before. In a country of like 2 or 3 million, he sold hundreds of thousands of copies of what he was writing, which would translate into like 66 million today. So he became hugely popular with the common man and the rich people who were revolting against England. They wanted him at that point to stir up the people. But once he did that, then they needed him again to keep them in the war, because they were doing very horribly. Washington wasn't the best general in the world, constant retreat. So then he wrote American Crisis, and some really famous phrases like, summertime patriot and whatnot. But anyway, he so inspired the public and the soldiers that they kept that war until eventually they won. And he had a hand in that, not just giving his royalties to the cause, persuading the French king to give them the gold, which really turned the tide. And he had some ideas for ambushes that worked and things like that. But he was the one who coined the new nation, United States of America. And one of his enemies, John Adams, said that the years of Paine's career should be known as the Age of Paine, because he so influenced world events in America and England and France and elsewhere, where people were, thinking of overthrowing monarchy and having democracy. So that was pretty much his life, stepping on the toes of the powers that be. But what changed in England, a lot of the religious fanatics left the country, came to America. And they kind of set the tone for America that we still have today. A lot of, Christian fanaticism, whatever other religion. And they turned on him later, because he wrote this other book, Age of Reason. And he tried to explain the flaws and faults of organized religion. And a lot of Americans hated him for that, and he suffered for that. But one of the things about that era that a lot of people don't know, the greatest influx of population to Canada was Americans fleeing the revolution. And so Canada got these who were less fanatical, and America kept these people who were fanatical about religion and other belief systems. So that determined the character of the nation, and it determined the last couple decades of Paine's life, when he had to suffer for his successes as a revolutionary.
You mentioned earlier that there was kind of this almost a rivalry, not quite, but a kind of really different ends of things between Hamilton and Paine. Does that at all become apparent in your play?
It does. I don't know if people realize, but Hamilton, he cheated the soldiers, didn't pay the soldiers, used that money to give to his friends. He pointed a guy to the National Bank, which Paine helped found and put all of his savings into. And that guy he appointed his friends to be the trustees, and they used the bank's gold to buy the bank, which is not legal, but they made a lot of money. And that was Hamilton's doing. When the farmers didn't want to pay a tax on them, which they thought was, well, I mean, it was very, very onerous for them, Hamilton wanted to kill these farmers. And he got Washington active again as a general, and they drafted more men than ever served in the Revolutionary War to go attack these farmers. And this is Hamilton. Hamilton also won the first huge settlement in court. It was like $350,000, which back then was huge. And Hamilton penned a letter to Lafayette, the French general who supported the revolution. And in his letter, he said, "Law is a way to fleece your neighbors." And that pretty much sums up Hamilton. So yeah, they were at loggerheads. Jefferson was too. Jefferson and Bain were great friends. Adams, he was with Hamilton. Hamilton tried to throw the election that Jefferson won. He tried to tamper with the electoral votes of his state, New York, which was the most populous state. But the Republicans of the day, called Federalists, wouldn't quite go that far. And he didn't throw the election like kind of recently in Ireland.
Well, they didn't have the Proud Boys with them. You know, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Marty, what is it? What is it like playing Tom Paine?
It's very interesting. I mean, I have never delved as deeply into Tom Paine prior to preparing for this role, but I have now, and it puts a lot of things into a different context for me, things that I learned in school, things, you know, I'm an avid reader, and I love documentaries, and I love history, and, you know, history and political science were part of my college major. And it's interesting because I don't know if, I think it was about 10, 12 years ago, there was a seven-part series that came out called John Adams, about the life of John Adams. And it was Paul Giamatti and Laura Linney playing the couple. And in that entire seven-part series, Tom Paine isn't mentioned at all. But some of Tom Paine's words are mentioned, and many of Tom Paine's ideas are mentioned, and it's all about the John Adams experience and prior to and during the founding of this country and the fighting of the war and then becoming president after the war, and they managed to completely omit Tom Paine. Well, I have a series on DVD that I think it was maybe a PBS series. It's like called The Presidents, and it's each episode is about one of the presidents. Tom Paine isn't mentioned in any of them, and yet he was omnipresent and an integral part of the founding of the country. So I really feel like I'm championing, in speaking for him, thanks to Jeff, like I'm championing somebody who has been deliberately omitted from the historical record because either his ideas are too unsavory to some, or maybe just because he's too complicated a person to try to encapsulate in any of these TV series that they don't want to open that can of worms, because he's not easy to pigeonhole. He doesn't fit the mold, and I love that. You know, that's a for an actor, that's a great character to play. I mean, playing one of the presidents would be far less satisfying because they're so well known and we know so much about them, and you're not really revealing anything to most people if you were to portray them. But Tom Paine, I have a feeling like, you know, I have workshopped this an acting workshop, and I've workshopped part of this play there, and the other actors are like, and including the coach, she's like, "I am learning so much. I just love this. I can't wait to see this because I'm learning all these things I never learned." And that, for me as an actor, is really rewarding because I am accomplishing something. I'm not just entertaining.
Well, that back then society worldwide was more classist than it is right now. And the ruling elite wanted heroes who were members of their class, loyal to their class. And Bain was not that. He was probably the first world celebrity from the working class. And he was loyal to friends and to causes and to ideals, but not to the ruling elite. And so that ruffled their feathers in a major way. And Adams himself is actually responsible for Paine, because Adams wrote a tract to persuade people to rebel against the king, and nobody read it. It was horribly written, was in lawyerese, was obtuse, and Paine had to look at that and, you know, laugh, well, I can do better than that. Anybody could. And so he wrote Common Sense, and he was right. He did a fantastic job, resonated with people like you can't believe. They would take their copies and bang on the convention hall where Congress was meeting and, you know, tell them to adopt this, you know, declare independence, revolt. And so the ruling elite realized they were outnumbered and decided to go along with it and figured, well, they'll make more money too, you know, not paying taxes. But the whole complete story is so much more interesting than just the pablum you get in high school.
Can I add, in that regard, that whole series about John Adams, they made it seem like it was John Adams's tract that inspired people to the revolution, but it was Tom Paine's Common Sense. And that's probably the one thing anybody I've run into knows about Tom Paine is, oh, Common Sense. And I make some joke about Common Sense, even though they haven't read it and they don't know what it says, they do associate him with Common Sense. And that's what persuaded the public to go along with the revolution. Because, you know, back in those days, there was no mass media, you know? It took forever for news to spread. So what was going on in Philadelphia, what the delegates were talking about, when they were talking about possible revolution and whatever, the populace wasn't in on the conversation. They couldn't turn on the TV, they couldn't pick up the newspaper and see it the next day. So once the founding fathers, so to speak, decided that it was time for revolution, it was time to persuade the general public. And Tom Paine did that with Common Sense. But this series on John Adams made it sound like his tract, which preceded Tom's, was responsible for that. But no, nobody read it because, like Jeff said, John Adams was so highfalutin that, you know, even his wife told him he would, you know, people couldn't understand what he was talking about. He needed to just talk in plain English.
You remember his most famous line, Paine's most famous line? We have it within our power to begin the world anew again. Or can you say it, Marty, how it actually
went? Oh, yeah. It's like, in bookstores, cafes, and pubs, people would loudly proclaim, we have the power within us to make the world over again. And more, these are the times that try men's souls. Further, it is the aim of political association to realize human rights. Plus, the world is me country, all mankind are me brethren, and to do good is me religion. And this, men did not make the world. It is their improvements that are one's possessions. Every owner owes to his community a ground rent, and every resident is owed a rent share. Opinions of impressionable youth? Nay, I penned those lines in the second half of life, and they made of me, a staymaker's son, a celebrity, and a target.
That was wonderful. We're talking to Marty Boudreau, Jeffrey Johnson Smith, and Mark Kohler about Jeffrey Johnson Smith's new play, Tom Paine's Bones, which is opening here in Portland over President's Day weekend. Jeffrey or Marty, please tell us one last time, where is the play being performed and how can people find out about it?
It's at the Chapel Theater in Milwaukee, Oregon, and tickets are available on Eventbrite. It's playing Saturday night, the 18th of February, Sunday matinee at 3 on the 19th, and President's Day Monday matinee at 3 p.m.
Great, thank you so much.
That's what you'll find it under at Eventbrite.
Great, thank you so much. Thanks so much for being on KBOO.
Emma, thanks for having us, Emma.
Really?
Radio has been broadcast daily in the U.S. since 1920, and today is World Radio Day. This 12th edition celebrates radio's contribution to peace. Put your trust in independent radio and use your voice by